to take the committee on board to understand why did you go this way and not this way? What are you planning to do to deal with that? Of course, later on, we would have this action plan that would say this is what you plan. So basically, that's what we should be dealing with now. So I would immediately hand over to the chairperson of the board to do an overview and then lead the presentation to guide us as to who is going to do what. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Good afternoon, good morning. I think it's still good morning. Thank you for this opportunity. Just a short introduction of the team that's with me. We have been here before, so I think the Portfolio Committee knows everybody. But on my left, we've got Carmel Vizo, who's our Acting Chief Executive, and she'll take us through the presentation. I've got Ms. Lorato Sithole, who's our Chief Financial Officer, who will take us through all our financial and audit issues. Professor Donaldson is behind us. He's in the Acting Biodiversity Science and Policy Branch. He's here to help us with any questions that we may need. We've met Mr. Thompson Mushinyalo, who was Chief Acting Director at the National Zoological Gardens. And Mr. Alan Smith is also from the Finance Department. Before we talk about us having so many acting people, I'm happy to inform the Portfolio Committee from the last time that we were here that we have appointed our new head of Chief Director of the NZG, the National Zoological Gardens, and it will be starting on the 1st of November. So we won't have Thompson acting anymore. We are also in our process of advertising for our CEO, and I'm sure by the next time we meet, we won't have an acting person anymore. We will have somebody who's in place. Professor Donaldson is only acting in the position that Ms. Carmel has actually had to vacate to take up the acting position. So just to put us all on the same page. So thanks very much about that. Chairperson, in our overall annual performance, we have achieved about 88% of our target. We have 9.6% has been partially achieved and 2.4% has not been achieved at all. We obviously will go into it in a lot more detail. Carmel will do that. We have 7 targets. There are many challenges we face, and a lot of our challenges, Honourable Chair, stems from the National Geological Gardens and the fact that they were brought into Sandby last year, beginning of April. So we've had integration challenges, we've had financial reporting challenges, but we have got that process underway, and we're just about there now. We also have NZG came with a lot of infrastructure, aging infrastructure, so we have a zoo that is absolutely beautiful, an amazing asset to our portfolio, but needs a lot of upgrading and maintenance. We will talk a little bit just about some of the good news that we have, but one of the not so good news, as we are here today, is our audited financial statements and the fact that we have come out with a qualified report. And it's not desirable, and we are really, as a board and as the accounting authority, really concerned about irregular expenditure. We're concerned about the local content, the CIBH, but we are looking at that. I want to just bring to the Portfolio Committee's attention, we are a fairly new board. We walked into a qualified report. Our first meeting was a qualified report. We have been sitting with management, EXCO, and the AG's office to correct all of this. It's not been an easy ride. It's been really difficult. But we have documented proof of all that the board has done in order to correct. So it could have been a lot worse. I'm taking responsibility for it. I'm the chairperson of the organization. So I while I can say that, yes, we are new, we have a CEO who left. We have documented proof of what went wrong there that brought us also to this point. But having said that, we were not audit ready, and so we can't make any excuses. What we can say is, what have we done? What have we implemented? What kind of consequence management have we put in place? And what are the plans going forward? And that is, I think, the important thing for the portfolio committee today. So as I'm saying, I'm not making any excuses. We are at the situation, we are in it, and we have to correct it. Our job is to correct it. Your job is to make sure that we do correct it the way it should be corrected. I don't want to come here next year. In fact, Honourable Chair, I don't think I'll even come next year if we have another qualified report. I would be too embarrassed, because we walked into one, the circumstances were really bad, we have a second one now, and we cannot afford a third one. So having said that, and I will speak a little bit later about some of our successes we've had, but having said that, I'd like to just hand over to Carmel, and she can take us through our presentation. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Chair, with your agreement, I wasn't going to go through the mandate and our acts and our vision and mission. We did do that in our last presentation. So I'll go straight to the programs and to how we've achieved our annual targets. Chair, as our board chair said, we've got four targets that we partially achieved and one target that we outright did not achieve. I'll go very quickly through all our targets so you get a feel of the ones that we did achieve, but I'll focus more on where we didn't meet the target. We've got seven programs. Our new program is Program 7, and it's around our National Zoological Garden. So I'll go program by program, and I'll start off with administration, render effective and efficient corporate services. Chair, in terms of positioning SAMBI as an employer of choice in the biodiversity sector, in terms of staff development, we achieved our target. In terms of transforming the institute, our equity targets, we're pleased to say, Chair, that we managed to exceed them slightly. In terms of our female staff, we met that target. Our female staff in top management, we also managed to achieve that target. And our target, 87% of black staff on permanent and contract employment, we slightly exceeded that. And lastly, we achieved our target. In fact, slightly exceeded it on people with disabilities. The target which we outright did not achieve, Chair, is around the unqualified AFS. And, Chair, we're going to talk to that target, what were our challenges, and why didn't we achieve it. So we're going to come back to that under Slide 42. A very important target for us, Chair, is around the financial sustainability of the Institute. We have a financial sustainability strategy, and our target on percentage increase of income generated, we exceeded that target. This target did for the first time also include income generated through the zoo. In terms of our ICT network and business services, how we manage our strategic risks and our compliance with relevant acts and our compliance framework, we achieved all those targets. Another very important target to allow us to achieve our income generation and our visitor numbers is around our marketing, and we managed to exceed that target. Chair, if I could now move on. So overall, in terms of Program 1, we basically just had one target out of the 11 targets that we didn't achieve. So we were just over 90% achieved. Program 2 is around managing and unlocking the benefits of our network of national botanical gardens. We have an important target around our indigenous plant species. And Chair, you can see that we totally over-exceeded on that target, but the main reason for that is that we were able to get additional funding, we were able to boost our capacity in terms of staffing. So we had an unusual year, Chair, where we totally exceeded that target. The target that we partially achieved was around the establishment of our National Botanical Gardens. And, Chair, while we were able to achieve the development of the site development plan and the cultural heritage survey, we were not able to complete the upgrading of our building. We had some challenges around our appointment of a service provider, and we've carried that work forward into this financial year, this current financial year. In terms of our work around our new garden, our Kwelega garden in the Eastern Cape, we were able to achieve that target. Chair, we have quite an ambitious target around our maintenance and development projects, capital infrastructure projects for our National Botanical Gardens, and our target was 45. We were able to achieve 44 of those 45. Sorry, we were able to achieve 44 of the 45. So one of them we weren't able to complete. We just missed the deadline in that we should have completed it by March, and our invoice was paid in April. So that was the one of the 45 that we didn't manage to complete. Chair, we have quite an ambitious target around our increase in visitor numbers, and this is for our National Botanical Gardens. We're very pleased to say that we were able to exceed that target. We heard from Sandparks around the constraints in terms of domestic and international tourism, but through a number of different initiatives and also through improving on our recording of how we record the number of visitors. We improved on our system, and together with the different initiatives and new offerings, we were able to exceed this target quite substantially. So we had a 5% annual increase as our target, and we managed to achieve 16%. So, Chair, overall for Program 2, we were 70% achieved. Going on to Program 3, which is about building the foundational biodiversity science. We did well, Chair. We were able to achieve our target around the number of animal and plant species compiled. We were able to come up with our four ecosystem classification updates. In terms of our record set for our biodiversity records added to the database, we were able to achieve that target. And for that program, Program 3, we're happy to say we were 100% achieved. On Program 4, which is around assessing, monitoring, and reporting on the state of biodiversity and increasing our knowledge for decision-making, and this includes adaptation to climate change, we're very pleased to say that in terms of our research papers, peer-reviewed papers published in journals, we were able to exceed that target. In terms of our number of invasive species project plans, we achieved our 35 plans. Also, the risk assessments, we plan to do 65, and we managed to achieve that. And a very important way in which we work with our partners is through our cooperative research networks, and that was achieved. Chair, in terms of our target around our national biodiversity assessment, we're very pleased to say that we're able to achieve that target, and that was launched by our minister on Friday. Chair, we also were able to achieve our update around species assessments. So for Program 4, we were 100% achieved. I'm now going on to Program 5, which is about providing policy advice and access to biodiversity information. Chair, we did well here. We were able to achieve our targets around decision support tools, around knowledge resources, and around our learning and coordination events, and also in terms of capacity building, Chair, we had four big training sessions that were convened. A target that we were able to exceed this past year, Chair, this reporting period that I'm talking to, was around our biodiversity records, Chair, and we're pleased to say we were able to exceed that target. Chair, we get a lot of requests around support around policy advice, policy guidelines, and we were able to respond to all the requests that we receive, and this is requests from our department and also other organs of state. Chair, also in terms of national and international platforms and sharing our lessons and experiences, we achieved that target. We also develop coordination mechanisms in collaboration with our partner, and that was achieved. So, Chair, in terms of Program 5, we were 100% achieved. Program 6, Chair, is a very important program for us, because without our people, we can't achieve our targets, and this focuses on human capital development and our education and awareness programs. And Chair, we have a target around 100 black biodiversity professionals participating through internships and studentships, and we were able to achieve that target. We have another target where we work with universities around biodiversity careers, where we try and excite young people around careers in biodiversity. And Chair, we fell short on that target. We planned to work with 15 universities, and we were only able to work with 13. Our two universities that we targeted, which were Walter Sisulu and Fort Hare, unfortunately, at the time that the program was supposed to be implemented, there were strikes, so we weren't able to achieve those two university career programs. And then, Chair, to bring children into our gardens, our kids in gardens, we were happy to say, Chair, that we were able to achieve that. Also, we work with civil society, and we have three platforms and two new platforms that we wanted to assess, and we're happy to say that we were able to achieve that. So that target, that program was 80% achieved. Chair, I'm now going to the last program, which is around our National Zoological Gardens. And Chair, we also have a target around making sure that we get our science that we do into journals, and we were able to just slightly exceed our publications. Where we had a big challenge, Chair, unlike with the target of visitors into our botanical gardens, our visitors into our zoo, we weren't able to achieve that target. We had challenges in terms of safety concerns, the economic pressures faced in the country, and also in terms of our aging infrastructure, in terms of capital investment. This was very limited, and our board chair did speak to that when she gave the introduction. So, Chair, going forward, we're working hard to try and mobilize the funding to deal with our aging infrastructure and to come up with new offerings so that we can achieve our targets around visitor numbers. In terms of our learners reach through visits, we were able to achieve that target, Chair. We have our last target, which is around stud books. And, Chair, the stud books are around how we manage our critical animal species. And the stud book provides details of all our animals in different collections and looks at which males, which studs, have mated with which females. And this is very important for us to be keeping records on this because it helps us to ensure our genetic diversity and to identify the productive animals. So, Chair, in terms of Program Zoo, in terms of Program 7 around our National Zoological Gardens, we were 75% achieved. And like our Chair said at the beginning in our introduction, overall, we were 88% achieved in terms of our annual targets. So thank you, Chair. If you'll allow me to hand over now to our CFO to deal with our financial statements. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, Portfolio Committee members and Chairperson. I will first go through the external audit outcome. Firstly, we were qualified on a number of issues. The first issue that we were qualified on relates to irregular expenditure, as we did not include all the irregular expenditure that had taken place in the organization. And part of that is that some of it is historical, and as a result, we were not able to quantify it, and it then became impracticable for the auditors to determine the full extent of the understatement of the irregular expenditure. The details of the irregular expenditure are on the next slide there, where firstly, there were issues around proper procurement processes not being followed, resulting in uncompetitive bidding processes, which is a non-compliance with our internal SCM policy and treasury regulations as well. We have a number of them there. Some of them were, the first one there was identified by SANB and reported, and it resulted in 58,000, and is around services for supply of abolition facilities at the Pretoria Garden. It went through a disciplinary process following SANB policies, and disciplinary was taken against the respective individual. The second one as well transpired at the Pretoria campus, also a continuation of the first one for 33,000. And both of them, it was by the same individual. Then the third one comes from the previous financial year, so it's the last bit of expenditure that had to do with the construction of the education building at Harold Potter National Botanical Garden. Disciplinary action was also taken here, and it was 3.2 million. There was no compliance with the delegations of authority policy. The fourth one also, there wasn't proper approved delegations of authority, and also uncompetitive bidding with procurement processes not being followed. It was around security services at the Toyando Garden and the Kirstenbosch National Botanical Garden, and also for tree felling services at the Pretoria Botanical Garden. And we also had a little bit of transportation of goods. So all in all, of the 786,000, it was four incidents, where for each one of them, disciplinary was taken. The fifth one deals with supply of fuel at the Kirstenbosch National Botanical Garden, where there was no proper procurement process, and it resulted in a total of 9.5 million, not necessarily in one financial year, it's also historical. There are amounts that relate to the previous financial years. Unfortunately, on this one, the employee that had procured this without following proper processes and entering into a contract has passed away. So it is not possible for us to take the necessary disciplinary action, and it is being referred to National Treasury. The last one deals with emergency procurement at the Kirstenbosch Botanical Garden of the administration building, where there was an emergency procurement dealing with the professional services for the construction. Unfortunately for this one, the AG deemed it to be irregular, as they did not agree that we should have followed an emergency procurement, and it resulted in 6.5 million, and it has been referred to National Treasury as well. The result of not following a procurement process or not appointing emergency procurement process for this one would have led to buildings being constructed without proper supervision taking place. So that deals with the irregular expenditure for Sunbee. We did not have fruitless and wasteful expenditure as per our AG report. Then the second item we were qualified on deals with revenue from exchange transactions. Here, Sunbee was not able to provide appropriate evidence for transactions amounting to 58.6 million. And as a result, the full total revenue of 183 million was then qualified, given that 58 million is quite substantial. All of these transactions relating to the 58 million were transactions that had taken place at the National Zoological Gardens, and which was transferred, as the CEO has already indicated, from the beginning of the financial year to Sunbee. Unfortunately, when it was transferred, it came through as a ring fence function, and it had all its support services, including the finance division. And the recording and maintenance of records was done at their garden, and unfortunately, evidence could not be provided. However, as the organization, we did step in. We sourced additional temporary services to assist in finding the documentation. We also took staff from our Kirstenbosch garden to Pretoria to search for the documents. Unfortunately, they were still not found. The third issue qualified on deals with payables from exchange transaction. For this one, there's a multiple number of issues that the AG pointed out on their report, but it's similar to the issue around the revenue from exchange in that it also relates mainly to the National Zoological Garden, where information, appropriate evidence could not be found to support the transactions that were recorded. And also it was found that for some of the transactions, they were inappropriately recorded. Instead, for instance, trade payables were understated by an estimated amount of 10 million and operating expenses as well. Then, Chairperson, I move on to the issues where we had non-compliance with legislation. It's three main issues. The first one deals with our financial statements having material amendments. As a result of the audit findings, we materially had to amend our financials, and that automatically gives us non-compliance. Then the second one, dealing with expenditure management, it deals with irregular expenditure where, as an organization, we did not take adequate steps to prevent the occurrence of irregular expenditure. The third one deals with issues still on irregular expenditure as well, procurement and contract management. We were not able, firstly, to provide appropriate evidence for competitive bidding processes. Then the second one, we did have some issues where some of the contractors that were appointed did not comply with CIDB, meaning that the level as per CIDB did not match what they were appointed for. Then the third and the fourth one is where we had issues around local content and production, where it was not firstly stipulated in the bidding documents, and also where the service providers did not provide us with declarations. Chair, then we move into performance information predetermined objectives, where Program 2 and Program 4 were audited, and relating to usefulness, it was found that on Program 2, we were not able to provide sufficient appropriate evidence around our visitor numbers in the National Botanical Gardens. It specifically deals with issues in how we had defined our technical indicator. We should have been more clearer as to who do we deem as a visitor and which gardens are being included. Then on Program 4, we had an issue with correspondence between our plan and our report, where on the plan we were referring to risk analysis to be conducted, and on the report we refer to risk assessments to be concluded. So there was an inconsistency. Then we also had issues of internal control deficiencies, which are tied to all these areas of qualification. The first one is that the action plans that we had in place and implemented were not sufficient to address the previous financial year's audit findings. The second one is around the financial statements having material adjustments. The third one is us not being able to give adequate evidence relating to revenue from exchange transactions and revenue and payables from exchange transactions. Then the fourth one, we did not adequately review and monitor compliance with regulations dealing with CIDB, with local and local content, and competitive procurement processes. Then also, we were not able to sufficiently account for all visitor numbers at our network of National Botanical Gardens during the financial year. The second last one, we failed to appropriately define the indicator during the planning period to ensure that there was appropriate measures to report on the indicator. And the last one is the issue around inconsistencies between the annual performance plan and the annual performance report. The next slide, Chair, is more a graphical representation of our internal control areas, which I've just spoken to. So in terms of leadership, most of the areas are all are green, and giving us a red in the area we did not adequately implement action plans from the previous financial year. The second one deals with financial and performance management information, where it's very glaring with all the issues that have been dealt with and raised. Then the last one is on governance, where it's all green. Then, Chairperson, I move on to the remedial action dealing with the audit findings. So on the first one, we do have revenue from exchange transactions, where the challenge was providing sufficient evidence. We have taken a decision to centralize the finance function into the SANBI processes from the NZG. So from the 2019-2020 financial year, all the transactions coming out of the National Zoological Garden are also being recorded centrally at Kirstenbosch under the supervision and guidance of the finance team that is based here. And they are doing this centrally for the entire organization. The second one deals with payables from exchange transactions. So similar to the first one, it's also centralized. And there are proper supervision for dealing with reconciliations. And I must indicate that the finance team, the work that has been done by the finance team went through an audit with the AG, and there were no great challenges as indicated by their report, meaning that these issues should be resolved with the centralization. Then the issue dealing with compliance with legislation, where there are material amendments to the financial statements. We have requested the internal auditors to assist us with the process and review where there are inadequacies in our processes, in our systems, dealing with year-end matters, and the work will be done in November and concluded in November, such that we are able to implement before year-end. Dealing with irregular expenditure, there were issues around prevention and quantification. Particularly with quantification, we are going through a process of reviewing all the prior financial year's transactions to ensure that we have completely identified all the irregular expenditure and appropriately recorded and reported it as irregular expenditure. So we are looking for all the instances where there was requirements for CIDB, where the local content was supposed to have been included, where competitive bidding should have been followed. The competitive bidding processes, we have centralized the procurement function within the Pretoria National Botanical Garden. Historically, this was decentralized throughout all the 14 gardens that we are situated at. Now we have centralized it, and we are very hopeful that it will address the issue. We also have issues around local content, where there were not declarations and stipulations in the bidding documents. Our SCM team received local content training in August, which should help with being a preventative measure. We have also requested National Treasury to come and train us on this matter to make sure that there are no areas where there are misunderstandings. What we've also implemented as detection measure is for all the requests for payments to be verified by supply chain for compliance before they are processed by the finance team in Cape Town. As part of preventative measures as well, we have implemented a demand management plan throughout the organization to ensure that there is adequate planning within procurement. Then overall, Chairperson, all the EXCO members are being held accountable for irregular in their respective areas. Dealing with predetermined objectives, the issues around Program 2, where there were insufficient systems to account for all the visitor numbers, we have considered the AG's recommendations, and we are in the process of revising our technical indicators to clarify the intent of the indicator and the scope in terms of which gardens we are including in this indicator. Dealing with the inconsistency in Program 4, we are reviewing the APP in totality for the current financial year, and we also have looked at the technical indicator descriptors to make sure that it has been properly defined. We also report quarterly on progress on all the audit issues, inclusive of the root causes to the Audit and Risk Committee under the board. Moving on to our financial statements, on our financial performance, we are reporting revenue increase of 175 million compared to the previous financial year, and the bulk of the increase is as a result of NZG being reported in Sandby for the very first time. One of the key areas where it comes out quite clearly, for instance, is under services in kind, where for the first time we had services in kind, mainly as a result of NZG, because of the facilities that they occupy, which belong to the National Department of Public Works. In total, We rely 68% on government grant, and we generate income of 22%, and we have projects and donations income of 10%. Dealing with expenditure, the issue around NZG also being included for the very first time cuts across most of the numbers once again, leading to an increase of 225 million compared to the previous financial year. Worth pointing out is the issue around personnel costs, where we had a 43% increase. The year-on-year increase, if one removes NZG out of the picture, and also includes the fact that we had a payment holiday on the retirement fund in 17-18, we would have come out with a 6% increase. Overall, personnel costs accounted for 59% of our spending, and operational expenses 34%, depreciation 5%, and all other expenses 2%. For the year, we are reporting a surplus of 14.2 million, which is mainly as a result of various accounting adjustments, such as the depreciation and amortization of fixed assets, and the fact that when we have our infrastructure grant, it comes through as part of the revenue, but when you record it, it goes on the statement of financial position. So you don't see the expense going out. Then dealing with our financial position, overall our balance sheet grew with 8%. We had some assets that were acquired during the financial year, and there was an increase in our current assets as well, particularly because of cash balances against projects and that are funded externally. Overall, our current assets exceed our current liabilities. Our current assets are sitting at 413 against current liabilities of 161. Showing us that we are liquid as an organization, and our total assets of 819 against our total liabilities of 221, reflecting that we are solvent and giving us a positive variance of 597 million. Then cash flow. In total, we had from our operating activities received 722 million as opposed to 588 in the previous year, also because of the NZG coming through the first time. And we also have payments amounting to 660 million, which gives us a total positive cash flow from operating activities of 62 million. Then from our investing activities, this is all the property, plant and equipment, we had an outflow of 42 million. So overall, we had a net cash increase of 20 million, which is held against the short-term liabilities, which we had at the end of the financial year, and obligations with externally funded projects. Thank you, Chair.
Then that concludes. You want to say something?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I just want to reiterate what I said earlier, that myself and the board we're fully committed to clear up all these obstructions and deal with non-performing staff in order that we can ensure that next year we come to you with an unqualified audit report. We are really very serious about that, and I am standing by that. Chair, if you just indulge me, but I just want to, we've listened to a lot of things that had not happened, and I just want to say that there are a few things that have happened that have been very good in terms of our major achievements and challenges. We launched the 7.2 million ecological infrastructure for water security in May 2018. The project is funded by the Global Environmental Facility, and we have it aims to enhance organizational, and we did report on this before, capacity and investment in ecological infrastructure to improve the water security. SAMBI also's role as a direct access accreditation entity for the Green Climate Fund is the largest operating entity of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. That is a feather in our cap that we are on an international stage, that we were given this accolade and this responsibility, making a significant contribution to developing human capital. And we have developed in the past, I think it's the past 3 years, until people qualified, 242 young professionals. Chair, I also just want to just take this moment, and I've asked our portfolio secretary just to give everybody a handout so that you can just have a look at the very, very easy look at our National Biodiversity Assessment. It was launched last week by the minister. It's an essential document. It talks to our biodiversity, talks to the fact that we are one of the 17 mega diverse nations in the world. We're in the top three when it comes to plant and marine species that's found nowhere else on Earth. And this is truly a remarkable document that we all should be proud of, because it's one of the first. We are setting the international standard. We are ahead of the pack. And so I just thought that if everybody got one and they saw what we were doing, how many young people have gone through this program, how many institutions we've engaged with, is absolutely, absolutely amazing. So I just would like all of the portfolio committee just to take one home, have a look at it, and I trust that all of you will understand exactly what we do after this. Chairperson, just again, just to highlight, yes, we do have the challenge of the National Zoological Gardens. We do need more funding for operating costs. We do need to replace the aging infrastructure. And, of course, integration of the National Zoological Garden. And, of course, we have to address non-compliance and with regulation leading to regular expenditure. I also, just in closing for myself before we go to questions, is to invite the Portfolio Committee to our gardens and our zoological garden, and come and see what it's about, and come and understand what we do from our perspective. I know Sand Park sounds a lot more interesting, but please come to our garden. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honourable members, it's time for questions, comments, number one, number two, number three, number four, five, six. It means all the members will ask. Number one.
I'm just curious to dive into one particular section to get an idea of the kind of problems that have affected you. And it's a fairly sort of minor thing on the face of it. But when it comes to the upgrade in Toyandu, you said that no eligible bidders qualified initially. Could you just give us a bit more detail on why they didn't qualify? And what does it take to be an eligible bidder, and how did you eventually sort that out? Thanks.
Number two.
My apologies, Chairperson. Put away the mirrors, don't laugh. Under Program 2, they speak of 46 projects. capital infrastructure projects and 44 maintenance and development projects. And what are the values of these projects? And, you know, and in terms of the amount budgeted for it and how much was eventually spent on those projects. And then under Program 7, you speak about 35 articles, and I'd just like to know, and what is the target to have 35 articles submitted or 35 articles published? Because, you know, for any academic, there's a chance that, you know, some would be rejected, and also, like, how do you fund these research projects or these articles, because it's based on actual research, and in the Department of Education would only pay for articles that are published or give grants for articles that are published as opposed to just getting people to do research. Thank you very much.
Number three. Yeah, I think I'm very consistent on being noted number three, Chair. Must be recorded. Perhaps I should start on a very lighter note, Chair. As they were presenting, I noted that their presentations are landscape, and ours are portrait. Now you would know that if ours are portrait, it means the typing is rather small, the font, and theirs is big. So essentially, it compels us to get glasses at some point. But whilst we acknowledge the greener part of the presentation, which suggests that most of the targets have been met. But it's just an observation that on each of the programs, once you have reached your target, you don't exceed it. If you set yourself a target of 4,200, for example, if you get there, you don't exceed, you stop. I've noted quite a number of those on most all these programs. If we start in fact, all of them, page 12, page 13, page 12, page 6, all of them. Once you reach your target, you stop. I don't understand. Can't we put a bit of an accelerator there? If we put ourselves a 4,200 target, there's nothing wrong in exceeding it than to reach it and stop at it. Now, I'm just starting from that particular observation. And I'll quickly go to page 15, Chair. In this regard, I'll speak to those of us who are in the portrait arrangement. I don't know the arrangement of the ones of landscape. The slide there is not numbered, but it speaks about the international platforms on which SANBIS lessons experienced and the national accredited so. I just wanted to, what are the yardsticks there? What do you use as a measuring tool? Determine that you have indeed reached that particular objective. But in whose interest and benefit is that? If it's for the people, what are they benefiting? Or is it in the? Is it just a tick box on the part of SANBI? Or what do people really benefit insofar as that particular target is concerned? The next slide would be on page 16 at the top. It relates to the number of universities. I think it's 15. You said 15, and you have only managed to interact with 13. Yeah. What are the impact analysis tools there? Is it just information sharing? What happens as and when you interact with these universities? I think it's this. I'm not too sure who spoke about this. I think it's still the CEO. She spoke about the economic pressures, the aging infrastructure. I mean, page 18. the safety concerns at the gardens and so on. And is it you, CEO? You spoke about you're working hard, or I think it's the chair. Self-praise is no recommendation. Working hard is compulsory. It's your job to do that. So we can't be clapping hands when a fish swims. It's your job to work hard. But I'm more interested in the remedial actions there. Aging infrastructure means you need more and more of money to replace the old infrastructure into the new one. But do you have any other contingency measures to remedy the situation that relates to safety, because it's a concern as far as you are presenting? And the economic pressure is not only a matter of Sunbe; it's a national issue. But from a point of view of Sunbe, what are the measures that you are putting in place to try and salvage those conditions at the level of your gardens? I have actually noted a lot, Chair, but the last one would be in page 22. I think it relates to matters of finance there, on the first qualification by the Auditor General. The first slide there in page 22, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 issues flagged. This is in portrait. Now, the CFO says there that the first and the second issues there is the same individual, if I captured you well, ma'am. And what you're saying there on the column of disciplinary steps, you are saying disciplinary action taken. I want to take, you are saying that. But what kind of disciplinary actions are being taken there? Because you can't, I commit an offense, you take me to DC. I come back and commit another one, you take me again to DC. There must be some serious measures that are put in place. Particularly if you look at the figures there. 58,000. You said it's 58,000. And to me, it's a lot. In fact, 1 rand is a lot in terms of public finance. And there's 33,000 there. So how do we allow this person to commit? To me, these are similar offences. So we would like to be taken through on the kind of disciplinary actions that are being taken place. But we must also know, where is this person? Is that person still in the institution so that he or she can commit further offences? Perhaps this is what you enjoy in Sunbe. We would like to know where that person is. Now, part of your recommendations, I think in your remedial actions, you are saying you want to centralize some, I think it's operations to Kirsten Bosch. You are centralizing the operations from the NGZ, financial operations, to Kirsten Bosch. But when the CFO presents there, most of the offenses happened at Kirsten Bosch. So now you are taking everything else to Kirsten Bosch. So you are increasing the problems to Kirsten Bosch. Now the last person, I don't know about this one who passed on. I'm not too sure if it's safe to also say that their souls must rest in peace. Look at that figure there, Chair. It's 9 million, something like that. That's a lot of money. I don't know if their souls are really resting. We're talking public finance. We're talking money of our people. The poor, the unemployed, the marginalized. You take 5 million and your soul must be resting. No, we're not into that business. I'm not too sure how are we going to get the 9 million. The soul can rest, no problem. But the 9 million is what we're worried about. And the last one, there you are saying, on non-compliance with SCM policy and treasury regulation 16A6.1, you have referred this to treasury for advice and condonation. Now that's another big figure, 6 million. It's almost 6.5. Where is this person, and why is this matter referred to treasury for condonation? Isn't it that you have policy in Sanbi that could have subjected this person, like many others, to the disciplinary action? On the remedial actions, really, I don't know if Kirsten Bosch is going to provide solutions to the quagmire you are facing from a financial point of view. Allow me to leave it there, Chair. I noted that there's total revenue from government is 68%, and the expenditure on personnel cost is 59%. I'm not too sure if my math is correct, but 59%, it means almost three-quarters of the money that you are receiving from government goes to salaries. To me, it defies logic. Leave the praise to us. Whether you are a liquid institution and whether you are a solvent institution, if you have so many findings from the audit's point of view, the solvent institution might very well be an insolvent institution. A liquid institution, in your view, might just very well be an illiquid institution. Thank you very much, Chapel.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry for that. I thought I'm the last one. Okay, no problem. And thank you for the presentation. On your presentation on this audit outcome, you present that you had a plan to respond to the previous audit outcome, but you did not follow that plan. Hence, you are having now, again, a qualified audit outcome. And again, you're coming up with a plan. My question is, what is the consequence for that? Because if you have not followed the audit plan, the audit action plan previous year, and you are now starting to say no, you are creating another action plan, then somebody must have not done their job, and there must be a consequence management on that one. And again, in your presentation, I'm worried about on page 23, where you say on the audit outcome on the compliance and legislation, where you made amendments to the financial audit to the financials during the audit. I don't understand how would you do that if we are really dealing with the professionals who understand the finances. So that the AG would then even pick it up that you are doing that without, because it means you did that without working with the AG. I don't know, but I'm a little bit skeptical on that one. If we really have to do that amendment on. Page 28, the financial performance, projects and donations, with that variance of a negative 3%, and the reason being that project funds were not received due to later commencement dates. Can you explain that one? I don't understand it. And on the surplus, you say that you have surplus, but what I don't understand is that your surplus is cash
also included some the property or as part of the surplus. What is it? Is it a cash surplus or a cash and the property? We are doing. You're talking about the aging infrastructure, but I don't see in your finances where you report straight on the property, plant and equipment, because the fact that you have got you do talk about the aging infrastructure, it means you do need that property, plant and equipment being projected in your budget and being presented as it is. So and that goes together with the last page, which is the challenges that you are presenting there of the aging infrastructure, the non-compliance with with the legislation. The last one, I heard the CFO saying that they are liquid. And what is the ratio? The liquidity ratio, so that we can then say, yes, you are liquid. And what is your projection going forward in terms of being liquid? Maybe in 1 or 2 years from now, do you have that projection of being liquid and how far it goes? And how far it is going to assist. And the issue of the Pretoria guidance, I think it's the Pretoria guidance, the same as NZG, because I've seen that the culprits are always from the Pretoria campus. And my question is, do we have CFOs or SCM units in each and every campus or in each and every zoo that you are dealing with, so that they can be, if we do have them, when are they held accountable? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. On page 6, let me first say, Chairperson, I've realized even yesterday that the page layout is not the same of the department and ours. The page layout is not the same, and it's difficult for us, especially those who are disadvantaged, who can't, who have a problem with their eyesight, because we have to change your glasses now and again. But at least, Honorable DB has mentioned that. I hope it's going to be corrected from all the presentation. On page 6, I would like to differ when you say you are 100% compliant with all relevant acts in SANBIDIA protocol and what, but you also include there the APP, including PFMA. How do you say you are 100% achieved when you have such an audit report from the Auditor General? Somewhere, somehow, it's not correct, unless I'm wrong, because your PFMA compliance is not up to standard, unless you have corrected all those issues. Then you go to the Botanic Gardens. No? There was an issue on social media on one of the clients, a community member who went to the Botanic Garden but came back dissatisfied, and she put it on the social media that it's no longer the same. And I believe that you need to do something about the Botanic Garden, because according to her, she came out of that Botanic Garden depressed. Because it's not, and she said on, so it's very embarrassing on social media that she doesn't recommend that any other person should go to the Botanic Garden the way it is. I haven't been there, but we need to do an oversight. So I think more emphasis should be done. I don't know who does the inspection, compliance inspection of your facilities, because there should be a report on environmental health issues. Let me just say check, because it includes environmental health issues, the OHS, and the everything included. And there must be a person responsible for that, because there's no institution that must work without the shack manager or an OHS officer or either an environmental health practitioner. Because those are the people who must give you reports, then you work on intervention based on their findings. There's an invoice that was paid in April. So that also, things must be, those are the things that must be corrected, because once the invoice is paid after, there's some cost on it. And I think, although it wasn't from you, but I think the AG did report, did mention that under, because you fall under the cluster environmental affairs, forestry and fisheries. So there was that issue. So those are the things that must be corrected. And I want to know that who deals with procurement issues in different institutions, because your institutions are all over. So who deals with your procurement issues? And in those, because there must be, yes, we can have one CFO, but we can have the other financial managers in all different facilities that make sure that they deal with the issues of the procurement issues, that make sure that they deal with the issues of financial management in the institution. But the issue of taking everything to one, centralizing it, I think we're going to have more problems. Just go back and think on your corrective measures, if they are really going to work for us. There's on page 12 that the number of national biodiversity synthesis or assessment produced, it says one assessment and it says achieve. Yes, we have achieved it. But is it for all your facilities, or was it is a sample? Because if a sample, if everything was done to all the facilities, we need to know, or it's a sample, and then that sample, according to research method, it covers the whole, all your facilities. Because I feel, you know, the 100% achievement target, see? To me, with such so many audit queries, it's a serious problem. Because yesterday, DIA was lashed big time, not because of them, because also you have contributed to the negative audit report. And then the issue on page 16, the issue of the universities. Yes, I know you have to make sure that you use different universities, but how do you choose the universities? Because I believe they don't work the same. There are others that specialize in environmental management. It's not that I'm promoting Northwest University, but it's one of the best. And and I think they've got more than 20 years dealing with environmental management issues. And I'm promoting CSIR also. It's one of the best research institutions that have experience and specialized professors, doctors, and most of the people, most of the departments, and they work with that institution. And like I said to SANPARK, why don't you use them? Because they have an MOU with the Department of Environmental Affairs. Because somehow you need to align some of your issues that you do with what the Department of Environmental Affairs is doing. I don't mind having a big number of universities, but what do you get at the end? Are you getting the quality that you want to get? Because the specialty is not the same. So please look at that. In KZN, I know there's a university in KZN. I think it's Durban University. They are professors also who are very good. Those two universities, I know that they are best when it comes to environmental management. And I know that they don't only they are flexible, that they can also go to other areas. I don't know how the term they use, but they are flexible to other areas where they don't have facilities. The 4RD, maybe, if I may say that. But also let's look at there's so many issues that has been raised by on page 22. I'm happy that you have touched on the issues raised by the Auditor General. But on the slide on page 22, when you talk on the disciplinary taken, how do you look at it? Because there's a streamline of people there involved. There's also another page where the CFO was only saying this person, because it's a streamline. I don't know how you work. You work like the department where you have the project manager. You have where that unit must have a procurement plan, and then there's SCM, supply chain management, and then there's a bid committee. When you talk of tender, once the RFQ is ready, it goes to the bid committee, and then the tender is advertised. I don't understand how it gets to that only one person, because there's different signatures when you're preparing for the tender document. What happens to that, to others, instead of one being targeted? And again, on the issue of the audit query, where are your M&E unit and your risk management unit? What do they do? Because they are supposed to monitor on quarterly basis and report to them. Because although the Auditor General does monitor you externally, but your internal controls, where are they? What are they doing? What are their advices to you on these issues? Because there are so many funds, the money is too much, that I feel that somehow it's the taxpayers' money that needs to be there, that needs to be used correctly. On page 26, you talk of the compliance with legislation. The compliance with legislation on tender process review, that's material amendments to the AFS. You see, the AFS, I might interpret it wrongly. I've requested that when there's abbreviation in bracket, just write it in full. Even if you don't write in all the documents, but in all the pages, in one page, then we'll understand what is it. Because I believe that when you do your tender documents, there's all types of legislation that you comply with. And it's a must. OHS, it's a must. GTI, it's a must, the local content, because they even send you a document that you attach to your tender document and also show you how to do the selection when you do the selection of the service providers. So I don't know, they were trained here, but it's been said that they were trained, but who trained them? Because it must be also in the tender document, your RFQ document. Because somehow these things happen because there's a loophole where some of the officials, they do as they wish. But I don't say what the names of the people we are putting here, that they are culprits, are the only culprits. Because there's too many people, there's too many signatures when you prepare a tender document. What happens to the rest of the people that are involved? Let's not target the one person, but all of them, because they work as a team. And the project manager is the accountable manager, because it's her or his project. But the other...
We've gone beyond
the
prescribed time.
Thank you, Chair. I am not going to repeat some of the issues that I've highlighted have already been covered by other MPs. Mine is only one, Chair, on page 16 on this issue of universities. I just want to check their plan in terms of the two outstanding universities. Do they have a plan of visiting those universities, or just because of the incident that happened, those universities have just missed out on that program, or you have a program to revisit those universities? I just wanted to raise that. Lastly, on this recovery plan on pension, Comrade Motisa, I think... May this person's soul rest in peace. I think we can recover, or the department can recover what has been lost through a pension of the person who's deceased, so that we can get that we have lost. We've lost, 9 million is too much. We can't just let it go. Those who were responsible will have to pay. Your organogram, can you give us a breakdown, not just say African male. We just want to know the department. Is it in staff, or is it a junior staff, or in? It's on page 20. Can you be specific in terms of the management and the junior staff or the senior staff and all that? Not just give us a summary of staff demographics. We want you to stipulate it clear. Thank you.
Your turn. I think just on this person who has passed away, I think the message is to say we want to see from the side of Sanbi that your focus is on getting back our money. It must not be to say the person passed away or the person resigned, because there is a trend like that. You say we must forget about this. So I think that's the message I'm trying to say. As you answer, the message is to say we want to see you looking for the money that you have lost, looking at all possibilities to get it.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. We take note of what has been said, and we thank the members for their questions. before I hand over to my executive, there are just three questions, one from Honorable Lorimer, one from Honorable Paulson, and one from Honorable Garzo. The upgrade on Toyonda, we'll give that to you in writing. The value of the projects on pages 46 and 42, we'll also give that in writing. It's best for us to do that. And we'll also give you the breakdown on the organogram so that you have a clear view on that. So those are in writing that would come back to the portfolio committee. I'm going to hand over to our acting CEO and then to our CFO and then to our acting chief director to respond to the different questions. I also want to ask us to try to make it as brief as possible. Okay? Information, but brief. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Honourable Chair. Chair, if we could start off with the questions related to our botanical gardens and our zoo, and I'm going to ask Mutshonyale to please answer those questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and the members of the Parliament. I'd just like to respond regarding the issue of aging infrastructure. This pertains particularly to the National Zoological Garden. There are definitely historical issues here because the National Zoological Garden belonged to, used to report to the National Research Foundation, and then as of last year, then it was transferred to Sandby. Therefore, we have definitely inherited a facility that requires a lot of maintenance. But the question is like, what are we doing now? We are looking for potential funding from different sources to address the issue of infrastructure. We are currently working already on projects with the National Department of Tourism, where they are funding what we call destination development, where they are funding the upgrade of certain infrastructure. And then we are also in the process of negotiating further funding with the NDT again to develop a comprehensive master plan for the entire zoo and relook into the layout of the zoo to ensure that it can meet the world as it is expected of the zoos there. The next question was around the issue of the NZG media statement, which from the social media statement. Yes, we are aware of the complaints, and then we have been working tirelessly to address a lot of issues to do with the safety, health, and environment and quality. It is linked back to the issue of infrastructure, because we are holding animal enclosures that we need to revamp and refurbish to ensure that they are of a world-class standard. The issue of the shack is one of the most serious area, and then it is one of the things that we are working on in terms of ensuring that we have capacity from the shack in terms of the organogram of the NZG. It is going to be one of the key areas that we're going to focus on. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. On the question related to our publications, I'm going to ask Professor Donaldson to answer that.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks, Honourable Members. Yes, I can just confirm that we only count papers that have actually been published in the scientific literature. We don't count those that have submitted. And then in terms of the funding of research, our MTF grant goes mostly to funding the salaries of researchers. And the operational funds for research come from external funding like the NRF, from donors, and from a limited amount of services that we do. So it's funded from external sources. Unfortunately, SAMBI doesn't qualify for the Department of Higher Education subsidy on publications, which the NZG used to qualify for. And that, so we would generate about between 3 and 12 million rand a year if we could access that, because we produce about 120 papers a year. So, but sadly at the moment we don't qualify for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue around our biodiversity careers program, what is it about and what is it trying to achieve? Chair, what we found that in our human capital development strategy, a big weak area was that many students got the opportunity to hear about what are potential careers, but when it came to the biodiversity sector, nothing much was being done at the universities. So we've partnered with the universities to have the opportunity to go and share with them what could be an exciting career in biodiversity. And, you know, whether it's a career dealing with marine or it's a career dealing with environmental assessment. So we basically go and collectively develop a program and have different scientists come and talk about their career development, what they find exciting, and it's exposing our students and trying to influence them to come into the biodiversity sector. And yes, indeed, those two universities that we weren't able to cover, they are now covered in this year's program. And then, Chair, before we go to the financials, the issue about Northwest University, yes, Northwest University is one of our targeted groups for the Biodiversity Careers Program. And in terms of our work with CSIR is a very, very strong partner for us in many, many of our initiatives, but particularly so, we could not have done the National Biodiversity Assessment without CSIR's partnership. They were a key partner in a number of areas that were covered in the National Biodiversity Assessment. So just to give you an example of our partnership with CSIR. And then, Chair, in terms of our national and international platforms around us being an accredited entity for the Green Climate Fund and the Adaptation Fund, this target was specifically about sharing our experiences as a national accredited entity from a developing country. How are we playing that role? What are the lessons coming out? Because South Africa is considered to be quite a leader when it comes to how we're managing these funds. For example, we have developed a fund that benefits communities on the ground so they can access the Adaptation Fund. And this is something that hadn't been done before under the Adaptation Fund. So our model on how we've managed to do the lessons, the challenges, we get to share that at different national and international platforms. But the impact going forward on being an accredited entity is once we start getting the funding to implement big projects, we'll start to see impacts at provincial and local level on how we're trying to deal with impacts of climate change. So we'll be reporting, you'll see in our new annual performance plan, we have new targets around how that funding, that project funding that we've mobilized, for example, through the Green Climate Fund, will impact on how we're dealing with climate change impacts, water issues, drought issues, land degradation issues, and so on. Thank you, Chair. I think the remaining questions are around our finances and our audit. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, CEO. I will start with a question raised around our liquidity ratio. Our ratio currently is sitting at 2.55, and projecting going forward, what is ideal is 1-to-1 instead of a higher ratio. As per the requirements. Then the other question that was raised is the surplus. What exactly is the surplus? Is it cash? Is it property? Where is it arising from? It's more of an accounting surplus rather than a cash surplus. is out of the accounting adjustments or in compliance with GRAB. Let me rather say that as we apply the GRAB standards, that's where it would result. A question around where exactly is the aging infrastructure on our financial position statement. It's included as part of the non-current assets, so the total value of 406 million, all of it is part of the infrastructure. It's all the property, plant, and equipment owned or within Sunbeam's control. That's what it is in its various forms. The question around amendments to made to the annual financial statements and resulting in material non-compliance. Sunbeam did not make the adjustments alone. We worked closely with the AG. There was consensus between ourselves and the AG. What are the adjustments that they would accept from us, and all of them were made. Unfortunately, if you make material adjustments, whether in agreement with the AG or not, it becomes material non-compliance. Issues from the previous audit outcome, as we had a plan and clearly it was not adequately implemented, we are following up on consequence management on that. We would be able to respond much better in January after we've dealt with it in this quarter. There is a report that is also going to be tabled with the Audit and Risk Committee on who are the people that are implicated in terms of not doing what they were supposed to do and actions taken against those people. Then the other issue raised, the remainder of the issues deal with the irregular expenditure, how we deal with it. We follow the National Treasury guideline on the framework on irregular expenditure. So there is an investigation that is done on each and every item, and that is how we identify who are the people that are responsible, that should be held accountable. Yes, we do have bid committees in place. Project managers are there, and they are also part of the process of procurement. But through the investigation processes, we are able to identify who is directly responsible for those transactions. We do not victimize anyone, but we look at it in totality. The Pretoria campus reference, I think I must apologize, as we are used to having only one campus in Pretoria, being the National Botanical Garden. Now we also have the National Zoological Garden. So it had taken place, the incidents had taken place at the National Botanical Garden. And in terms of how we are structured in SCM, the different campuses, 14 campuses, previously they were able to do their procurement, implying that in the various areas within the organization, even within projects, there would be somebody that's responsible for their procurement. The challenge with that is what we have realized in the recent years is that there is increased compliance requirements, there is increased complexities, and it requires a closer eye and total control of the supply chain management. The question around project donations, project and donations funds coming, having a later commencement date. It implies that originally it was planned that those projects would start in 2018-2019, but unfortunately they could not start at the scheduled time for one reason or another, and they would be starting much later, most probably in the 1920 financial year. On the list of the irregular expenditure provided, the various disciplinary action taken, on the first two where I indicated it was the same official, a full investigation was done and disciplinary process followed, leading to the person no longer being with us, being dismissed. The other ones were, then the other one where it deals with the Harold Potter, four people were given warning letters out of the investigation that was done. The ones dealing with the different security services and tree felling, they were committed by different people. And investigations were done, disciplinary processes fully done, and they were given letters of warning as well. And dealing with the supply of fuel, we agree with the committee that where the person is found to have wasted funds, we must try and recover. But from the report that I have seen already, the fuel was used in the campus over the years. There wasn't any fraudulent or wastage that could have taken place. But we will look into it fully and make sure where there is recovery, it must take place. On the last one, dealing with the emergency procurement, the building was in already in progress, and the contracts for the professional teams expired. I believe that there was challenges with starting with the construction, and hence the delay, and some of the professional teams contracts coming to an end. Given that it had come to an end, emergency procurement was done for those professional services such that the building could be completed. And the reason why we are referring it to National Treasury is because we saw it as a new procurement process, whereas the AG have taken a view that it should have not been done through an emergency procurement. So we are seeking their advice. And depending on what their advice will be, we will then be able to take further action as per the framework on irregular expenditure. The issue of centralizing some of the finance functions at the Kirstenbosch campus. We have the Sunbe Finance division situated within the Kirstenbosch campus. So it's not within the garden itself, but it's where they are situated. And they have been centralized all these years for the entire organization. The challenge was with NZG coming through with its own functions, and not being centralized, meaning that it was not in the systems, in the processes of the organization. So centralizing it, in our view, is a better way of dealing with it, as it can follow the processes that are compliant, that have been working for the organization. So it is not necessarily in the Kirstenbosch where the irregular expenditure has been committed, but it's within the finance division. Thank you, Chair.
Much. We have exceeded our time. Otherwise, thank you very much, Sunbe. I hope with these questions that you have raised, as something that will come out of your plan now, which will help us to monitor what you would be doing. So the intention of asking questions is equally to help develop an action plan that responds to this. So that's what we'd be looking at. But same message where I started, we can't continue as if things are normal. The country is in a bad shape. So any little loss of money, it means a lot to everybody. So that's why I'm then saying I appreciate what the chairperson was saying, that if she must come back next year to talk about a qualified audit outcome, she will not come. So that's a serious commitment, and I hope everybody is getting that message. It's not the chairperson, it's all of us. If we'll come back here with this findings, we must be very reluctant to come back here. Well, I'm taking the chairperson's commitment. It's not coming from me. Otherwise, thank you very much. The meeting is closed.